Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 19th day of July, Anno Domini 2025. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, for your edification and delectation, we are going to be giving you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. Very exciting. Large swaths of the internet went down on Thursday, affecting a range of services from global cloud platform Cloudflare to popular apps like Spotify. It appears that a Google Cloud outage is at the root of these other service disruptions. Google Cloud said it started investigating service issues affecting its customers at 11:46 a.m. Pacific time. As of 2:23 p.m. Pacific time, the company said it had implemented mitigations and expected to have services back up and running within the hour. Cloudflare also said it was investigating service disruptions affecting its customers, according to its status page. Shortly after noon, Cloudflare said it was starting to see its services recover after investigating the issue. This is a Google Cloud outage, said Cloudflare spokes individual Ripley Park. A number of services that at Cloudflare use Google Cloud, and too many words have cloud in them. A limited number of services at Cloudflare use Google Cloud and were impacted. We expect them to come back shortly. The core Cloudflare services were not impacted. Thousands of users have reported that popular apps, including Spotify, Discord, Snapchat, and Character.ai, experienced outages on Thursday afternoon, according to the crowdsourced reporting platform Down Detector. AI coding apps such as Cursor and Replit also appeared to go down on Thursday. Spotify spokes robot Shira Rimini said they are keeping an eye on Google Cloud's status page for more updates. And AWS, Amazon Web Services spokes robot, said that they were not experiencing any service disruptions on Thursday, and Microsoft Azure has not reported any outages on their official channels. It's kind of a shock that Microsoft Azure doesn't use Google Cloud. Typically, service disruptions of this nature are resolved in a matter of hours. These outages appear to start around 11 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday, disrupting the middle of the workday for millions of people across the U.S. So our poll of the week, it's soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google outage takes down much of the internet. And your choices are, it was horrible. Horrible! So that's why I couldn't get to my stuff. I don't use any of the affected services. And wait, Google's on the internet? So far, we've got 29 votes. And I don't use any of the affected services is just ahead of, wait, Google's on the internet? And of course, you can vote at the poll. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And once you have done that, of course, you can give us a call on this or any dang topic you choose at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Sorry to say that I missed it. I was working, so yeah. It's like, oh, really?
I had a little thing done on Wednesday, so Thursday afternoon I was in some pain and I slept through the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was an outage until today when someone I tried to send an email to didn't get it.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people who were in fact affected. Now, generally speaking, like I said, these outages are not long. One of the things that every company does is, you know, have a disaster team that jumps in when something like this happens. And, of course, the internet, by and large, is designed to be self-healing. If it can't get there one way, it gets there another way. So The outage didn't affect as many people as you might think, but when there are billions of people on the internet, that's still hundreds of millions of people.
It only affected 0.1% of the users.
Right. It's still hundreds of millions of people. So, yeah, there were a lot of people who couldn't get their stuff. The big thing is, of course, a lot of people didn't notice because they were at work, and many workplaces don't let you get on Spotify and Snapchat and all of that. And if you did have an outage, you don't know where it came from. And you think, all right, I'll try again in 15
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it's busy.
It comes back and you win. But it was a major outage that actually hit a huge portion of the internet. And you know, one of the problems we have is that there have emerged a few major players. And they hold the vast majority of the resources. So Google Cloud, Microsoft Cloud, AWS are the big ones.
There's an acronym for it. Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Apple. There's a fifth one, the five, when they call it the Five Eyes, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Those are the three big ones. And then you're right, Apple is up there. There are a couple others that are up there.
Five Eyes is something else.
Yeah. don't Google that. You've got these major companies who hold a huge amount of your, not just data, but the programs that run those data. There are an astonishing number of companies that are on AWS. There are an astonishing number of companies using Google Cloud, an astonishing number using Microsoft. And when one of those services has a problem, it takes out a lot of other stuff. A lot. Now, you would expect that there are going to be problems on the internet. That's a given. You also expect that a company like Google will fix them quickly. And they do. But again, like we said, it still was affecting hundreds of millions of people for an amount of time, some hardly at all, and some for hours. So it's quite a thing, and it's panic making.
Yep.
You know, that's the big thing, is your site goes down and you can't fix it. It's not your fault. And that's, you know, it's okay. If it's sound bites, it goes down. Nobody notices until Saturday, except me. But, you know, I go in and fix it. But when the problem is above my level, there's nothing I can do but wait. And again, that's okay if it's sound bites, because we don't depend on that for money. Darn it. But we don't.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But we don't. And so if it goes down, okay, it goes down. It's going to come back up. Oh, well. But when you make money on your website, when you charge people to use your website, then you better have a website for them to use.
Yeah, or you'll hear from them.
And, you know, I get it. When I was a systems administrator, if stuff went down, it was on me. And I'm the one who fixed it. And when people complained, I took that complaint because I was the guy.
Yeah.
But if my website goes down and it's a problem at Bluehost, I can't fix it. There's nothing I can do. I just have to wait. But people are going to complain to me because they don't know Bluehost.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so when it's Spotify, you know, it's a much bigger problem. When it's Discord, it's a much bigger problem. There are people who are on Discord all day long doing actual things, actual work. People use it for meetings. People use it for team building exercises, all kinds of stuff. And when it goes down, they can't do their job. In addition, there are people who charge you to be on their Discord. And now you can't get on the Discord you paid to be on.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Somebody, I remember reading a story about somebody called up their internet provider because the internet was out for 2 hours. All right, you pay $30 a month. That's $1 a day. 2 hours is 2/24 of an hour, so it's 1/12 of a day. So we'll give you 1/12 of $1 refund.
Yeah.
I'll call it a penny just to round up.
Yeah. But and I understand that. But when it's a business that's being run.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses use Google email, Google hosted email.
Right.
And especially if you're doing a business deal or something else like that that's time sensitive, you know, trying to get bids in or something like that, and that goes down, you know, you could be costing companies quite a bit of money.
Right. And in particular, these days, everybody's using JIT, right? Just-in-time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're waiting to the last minute, legitimately, not just because you're procrastinating jerk.
Right.
There it is.
You're waiting to the last minute, and then you go to
send it,
and it's down. You lose.
Yeah, you're hosed, and you were counting on that contract to say get that job, so you know you could keep other people working. You've cost your company money, and now your employees.
Right. Or you know, I waited until Thursday to send off the email to my supplier to say I need 200 more widgets.
Yep.
Because it's just in time.
By Monday.
And normally that would be exactly correct.
Yeah.
And now I cannot send it on Thursday. Now I don't get them on Monday. Now I've got workers who are sitting around on their duffs, unable to work.
Because it didn't go through.
Yep.
So, you know, there's more to it than you not getting a letter from Aunt Fanny. You look at the bigger picture and major companies spend a lot of time on this stuff, and so it's a real issue. And the internet is getting, you know, the other question is, what caused it? You know, is it a misconfigure? Somebody finger fumbled, fumble fingered a configuration file. Is it somebody tripped over a plug? Is it an attack from some, you know, denial of service group or somebody trying to steal our data or ransomware thing? You know, there's that moment where you don't know, what you being the people who are supposed to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? There's a moment where you don't know. And you have to deal with the panic.
Yeah.
That sets in when that happens.
Yeah, and you're sitting there saying, oh, shit. What did I do? You know, or what's going on here? And is it real? Or is it a hoax?
Or is it an accident? Or is it on purpose?
A lot of thoughts go through your mind. A
lot of thoughts. And then the other problem is you have to be methodical. Okay, there's, you know, we're used to movies where somebody is sitting in a chair and suddenly says, oh, it's line 53 of the code. And they go in and fix line 53.
Yep.
That's a little rare.
Yeah.
Or more like line 553. What really happens is people sit down and go through the code line by line until they come to line 353. And if their minds aren't mush by that point, they see the problem and they fix it.
Dear future me, I expected to come back and fix this, but if you're reading this now, I didn't. Sorry.
Exactly. And so there's a whole lot more that goes on behind the scenes, and I have seen instances where in emergencies like this, people panicked.
Mm-hmm.
That does not help. And I've seen instances where people just dug in and did the job. And boy, does that help.
Yep.
That's the good stuff right there. And
It takes that mindset that you can sit back and you more or less, you know, all this stuff is coming at you from 16 different directions. That you've got to step back and say, wait a minute. Clear your head and start thinking things through without all this other pressure on you. Like you say, so that you can, all right, narrow it down to what part of the code, say, is giving you bad. That you're not searching the, and you know, you're being very generous saying line 533.
Yeah. 5,533.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You've got to think of the area that is being affected and what might cause it. And you're running these things through your mind before you actually sit down and then start digging into it to find out where you're going. Because you could waste many of hours searching this part when it's actually over here or that.
The worst thing, though, is when you do all of that, you do all that searching, you do all that looking, you do all that figuring out, and nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Then, and only then, do you look at the upstream provider.
Yep.
Because you have to assume it's you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assume it's you.
Oh, yeah.
So then you look at the upstream provider, you've got to call into them, and of course, they're getting 200,000 calls a minute. So they eventually get back to you and say, yes, we have a problem.
Or, average wait times are longer than usual. That's not how averages work.
right. Or finally somebody updates the website, which does not always happen in
smoothly.
Real time.
And you may not be able to get to it if it's
And you may not
problem,
be able to
yeah.
get to it. So there's a level of anger there that happens, and you have to get past that too. I just spent 2 hours of useless work combing through my stuff when it's your problem. Yep. Son of a pup on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the ISP tech supports are careful about it. We have no reports of an error in your area.
Right.
Yes, there's a backhoe cut a line, but we have no reports of an error.
Right. But yeah, so you know, when something like that happens, you don't know where it is, you don't know what it is. And you have to be methodical.
And how many interconnected services there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, FANGbug. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Google. FANG.
I don't like it.
The big five. Yeah, some people are trying to figure out. There was a series of articles by Cashmere Hill in 2019, you know how long ago it was, where she tried giving up each one of the five every week and saw what happened and what she couldn't get to and couldn't use the GPS in her car because that's powered by Amazon and, and how many websites use Amazon web services that she didn't know. And then for the 6th week, she gave up all five, could barely do anything.
Yep. You can do a lot of local stuff.
They're so ingrained.
But you can't get out to the world.
Especially between Microsoft Azure web services, Google web services, Amazon web services.
Yep.
I mean, you can give up Facebook pretty easy. But
yeah.
But your data is still out there and other people are using you.
I've been saying this for the longest time, since the very earliest days of the internet. Since before the internet, BBSs and everything else. These are communication devices. That's what they're for.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do we do anything in a bubble on our computers.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you load an operating system and you disconnect yourself from the internet and you run it. Realistically, how many people do that?
I want to get my email. Oh, that needs internet. How many people don't realize that email needs internet?
Right.
Yeah. Go to websites. I need internet for that. I play my games. Most of them use internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can, you know, turn off your router for a day. See what happens. See what you can do. Dang near nothing. If you okay.
Make the kids go to bed.
If you're a writer, okay, and all you're doing is writing locally, you don't need to look anything up. You don't need to.
Can't do any more research.
Can't do any research.
Yeah.
But if you've done all that and you just want to sit down and crank out your book or whatever it is you're writing, turn off your internet, go into monk mode and do it. It's fine. If you're a programmer and you're programming something local, you might turn off your internet so you're not distracted and write your code. I get that. Most of us aren't, or you're a photographer. You've taken all your pictures. Now you just want to sit around with Adobe Light. What's it called?
Lightroom.
And just sit there and edit your pictures for 2 days. Turn off your internet. You're fine. Everything else, it's an interconnected communications device. That's all it is, and we forget that.
But if you disconnect, also, you better have a hard drive connected to that machine to do backups.
Well, yes, all of that. But I'm saying that we take for granted fact that we are connected to the internet. Look at the panic that sets in when your internet goes down.
Yep.
You know, because these are communication devices. We call them personal computers, but what they are personal communicators. That's what mm-hmm. we do with them all day long.
We had a customer this week that had a problem. He couldn't get the Starbucks Wi-Fi on his phone. On his tablet, it worked fine. Every other Wi-Fi on his phone worked, but he couldn't get the... So he wanted us to fix it. Well, I'm not Starbucks. We may have to go to Starbucks to test it.
Yes. And did you?
I figured it was probably that interstitial captive portable that says you agree to the terms and conditions were coming up.
Yep.
So I was able to forget the networks and forget the settings, so he'd have to log back in fresh, and the phone didn't remember anything about that network.
Yep.
And that did work.
Yep. But, you know, look at you. Okay, so you, to put it as simply as possible, and I realize I'm doing you a disservice, you fix computers.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, you don't need the internet for that. Because you could just sit in a room with a soldering iron and a screwdriver and work. The reality is, you have to call the customers.
Yeah.
When it's done, you may need to look stuff up, procedurals that for fixing something.
Updated drivers.
Yep. Update drivers and all of that stuff. You can't do it without the internet.
Yeah. That was a problem. Also last week, a woman, her printer stopped working. The queue would pause when she tried to print. You unpause it pauses again immediately. Finally figured out that the SSL cert in the printer expired. It was exactly 10 years old. Who knew the printer had an SSL cert?
Right.
So we had to go in and renew the cert. And it was set up for a self-signed cert. So then when we went to print, we said we had to okay the security warning that it's a self-signed cert, but then it started working again. So it's, and I'm researching it. So I'm researching everything about how to, you know, why is the queue pausing? How to unpause the queue? Until I expanded my search and said, just not printing. And apparently this is a thing with certain model HP printers. There's a 10-year SSL cert.
And explain what a cert is.
It's a security certificate so that the communication... we're used to SSL certs between your computer and, say, your bank. So the information is encrypted and secure between you and your bank. That's good.
Right. And in order to do that encryption, you have to have an SSL certification that is up to date and legal. And that tells both ends, really, that we can communicate securely.
This is a valid certificate. Right. We know who each end is and we'll encrypt the data.
Right.
For some reason, HP decided you needed a security certificate on your computer or on the printer so that from your computer to your printer on your own private network should be encrypted.
Right.
Doesn't really need to be, but I guess sure.
Dumb.
But if you keep your printer for more than 10 years, that 10-year certificate expires.
Right. And that's pretty telling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That HP assumes their printers won't be around 10 years from now. And I'm sorry, that's kind of telling.
And doesn't make that... So there was never any error message that was happening.
Right.
It's just the queue paused. Everything else in the setup looked fine. I go into the front panel, it prints a demo page. I go to the web interface to the printer, it prints the demo pages. It just won't accept any communication from the computer.
That's so weird.
And it, researching around, it sparked a memory from 5 years ago when I ran into this before.
Well, and that's the big thing. Of course, you've got years of experience doing this.
Yeah,
that helps. But
that's the thing about us here. You know, we've got hundreds of years of experience.
Thank you.
We can between when you add us all up.
Yeah, it's true. It's not incorrect.
Yeah. So we've probably already had your problem.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But that's you know you can't do without the internet. You're listening to us over the internet mostly.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're listening to the radio broadcast, it gets to the transmitter from the internet.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And so, you know, the internet is far more insidious, far more dug into our lives than we think. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a few.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Fred from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I got a couple questions. One is about a pie, and one is about Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So the Wi-Fi I talked to you about before, doing a little research, I discovered, it's out of date. It's not getting any security updates, so I decided to replace it.
Good.
And what a wonderful time to put my 64-character password on my TV. But the question is, the old Wi-Fi that's not secure, can I use that to control devices in the house, like lights? You know, I'm really not too concerned about somebody hacking into that and turning off and on my lights, but...
Well, you should... Let me talk to everybody else first, and then we'll talk to you. If you have an Internet of Things devices, like your TV or your lights or, you know, any of that stuff that can be controlled over the internet, your doorbell, you want it on a separate network from your main network. You do not want it on the same network you have your computers on, because it's a way to get into people. Now, in Fred's case, if he puts all of that stuff on a separate router or on a separate network on his main router, then he is able to A, use all that stuff just fine, and B, it presents a much less likely vector for someone getting into his network.
And most modern routers have a second network, usually intended as a guest network.
Right.
The problem with only using two routers is that your second router's got to go through the first. So if somebody gets into that second router, they can see the first router. So you actually need three routers. Or you need a network segmentation, an edge router that has hardware segmentation.
Or so, you use your main router, right, which has two different networks, right, in it, and that's easier.
Use the guest router. Although we have seen some of those IoT devices won't work on a guest network.
Yeah, I understand that.
Hmm.
But that's the thing to try.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily they'll do anything to you, but they could use your light bulb to attack other people, which has been done.
Yes, it has.
Okay.
Well, and then that traces back to you.
I was just thinking a couple of lights that may or may not be network. I mean, may not internet control, just within my own house.
No, I understand that, but yes, it is a kind of a secure thing to do. But now you can't reach it from your main network without opening up your main network.
Got it. Okay, so I'm still confused, but. The route I was going to take doesn't apply.
Yeah, the short answer is no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. With the second router, use the guest network in your first router and hope that works with your devices.
Okay. So the Pi question, I want to put, I looked at Pythos.
Yeah.
For Pandora. And it doesn't let me search. It doesn't, it's really limited. And I can't look at, certain art. I couldn't pull up a certain artist, a whole bunch of stuff that I can do on my app on my phone or the web browser.
Right.
Would a web browser on a Raspberry Pi 5 be that big of a deal? Would it use up that much?
No, absolutely not. No, on a Raspberry Pi 5? No, it won't even notice it.
Yeah, it won't even flip.
Okay, well, it was the newest one, so that's what I went for. But I was thinking just, you know, putting what should I look for a lightweight browser or?
No, pretty much. Look, on a Raspberry Pi 5, it's a workhorse. Mm-hmm. So you can run anything you want to run.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a problem. And then you just run it, just run a regular web browser on it and you're fine.
Okay. One of the frustrating things that I did find was the instructions on the new new router were not that simple, and some of the details are missing. It has taken me half the morning just to set that up.
But yeah, there. Many devices these days are designed. The documentation is designed to be read by other people who write documentation.
Yeah.
Or at least IT professionals.
Right, yeah. As opposed to just regular folks.
Well, I did stumble through it, but so I guess if I have a second to ask a third question, a Kindle, Amazon Kindle, or the Boco e-reader?
Oh, the Books reader, B-O-O-X?
No, it's B-O-K-O.
There's there's Kobo, K-O-B-O.
Maybe that's it.
And
that's
okay. Okay, so... Yeah, all right. How do I want to put this? All right, so... the Kindle device is very good, but it is limited. It funnels... If all you ever look at are books from Amazon, then it is a perfectly adequate device. If you look at books from other sources, like Google Play or Nook or any one of the others.
And Kobo has its own bookstore, too.
And Kobo has their own bookstore. Then the Kindle is probably not your best bet, because it is more limited as to what it will allow you to run. Kindle is really designed to be an e-reader for the Amazon bookstore. Something like Kobo is really designed to be essentially an Android tablet that has a number of different apps on it that let you read books from any other sources.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still not sure which way that I want to go.
You got to find a store to try them both.
Yeah.
I'm looking at different comparisons of the two, and a lot of different websites have roundups and comparisons, and the short answer is whichever one you like.
Yeah, basically. The other thing about Kindles is if you buy the low-end Kindle, you save a lot of money, but you will see ads.
Okay.
The trade-off.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was probably not the low-end one, but something, you know, in between, not super high, but the Kobo gives me actually the same. I looked for a few books. Didn't look at a lot of them. I looked at a few books. They're both the same. One might be a dollar or two different in price, but not a significant difference. The Kobo does give me the ability to look at PDFs I read someplace. Is that
Yeah, I think Kindle does too. I think Kindle.
Oh.
Yeah, you can read Kindle. You can read PDFs on Kindle. And Kindle has a what's called a send to Kindle feature. You essentially, when you buy a Kindle, you get an email address.
Okay.
And then you send your PDF to that email address, and it shows up on your Kindle.
Okay. I had done some reading on my phone with the Kindle app, which is okay, but it's small, and its type is small. And
yeah, of course.
As I'm getting older, it's harder to read.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of them you can increase the letter size, but then your page count goes up. So your 200-page book becomes a 800-page book when you make the text bigger.
Yeah.
And reading it on your phone is nice. Now, the other good thing about a Kindle is if you are using the Kindle app on your phone, you can be reading on your Kindle reader and then find yourself standing in line somewhere, pull out your phone. When you open it up, it'll say, "Oh, you're on a different page on the other device. Do you want to move to that page?" You say yes, and now you're right where you were. You can read.
Okay.
So that's a nice thing about Kindle.
There's also an interesting link with Audible audiobooks, which are owned by Amazon, that if you have both the audiobook and the Kindle book, while the audio is reading, it will automatically follow along in the text.
Ah. Nice option. So is that book you're writing going to be available on Amazon Kindle?
That's the plan.
Okay. Well, I think that that pretty much answers the questions I need to get back to work and resetting up everything that I just messed up.
Have fun.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I've said this many times. I bought a Polk 5 from Books, B-O-O-X, because I wanted essentially a tiny 6-inch Amazon tablet. Not Amazon, an Android tablet. So I can have... I've got Books in every conceivable app. Nook and... Amazon and Google and stuff that I've bought from places like the Bain Library that you just get a download from them directly, and so I can read all of those. Where's Vig?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. All right. Back to the phones.
You're Italian. You don't know where the Vig is.
Yeah, right. Our next caller is Will from somewhere in Virginia. What's up, Will?
From Hampton in Virginia. Nick, good afternoon. And I got three things that I'm going to try and say in quick succession because of time constraints. Number one, I did manage to find sound bites on the big red button, and I put in a little change for that. And number two,
thank you.
And that's being an unemployed college student by all means. And number two was... I had emailed my faculty advisor the other day and, talking about work-life balance. I would probably never, initially I might be involved in operations, but at some point, because I love sitting in the pew on Sunday mornings, I would transition to the business part of IT. And number three, I finally, once again, as an unemployed college student, got a new toy, an Ace Magic 17.3-inch diagonal laptop with the Intel Adler Lake N97. Those are my three things I wanted to put out real quick.
How very cool.
Yeah.
I applaud you for the work-life balance thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't think of that, particularly at college ages. They don't really consider that. And it is important. And as you get older, it gets more important. So thinking about it now is really a good idea. I will have to look up that Ink Magic. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's it's manufactured by a Chinese manufacturer. I forgot the name of them. But I was initially trying to get a gaming laptop because here at the college, we do not much stuff that's processor intensive, but there are maybe a few things like in statistics or whatever, but in order to use definitely in order to use the Microsoft Office suite, you want to have something that has Windows 11 on it, which this one came refurbished with. And interestingly enough, I think that this is actually not an actual used unit, but basically a refurbished unit, never sold to a customer. But
interesting.
Of course,
and what model is it, did you say?
Ace Magic. I'm trying to look at the specs that I copied.
That's all right. It's all right. It's they have a number of things, some of them with Ryzen 7s and some with...
Well, this one has Intel Lake N97 in it. And, of course, my plans for it are to dual boot it this time with Zorin Core OS 16.3. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it now. 30% off. LX15 Intel Alder Lake.
They've got one that looks like a TIE fighter, one that looks like a Borg cube.
I do stuff with Caden Live. Like when I did our family reunion, I did the post-editing with that. And using that old Toshiba that I had with 1 gigahertz just wasn't cutting it, and 8 gigs of memory. That's the other reason I really, really needed this.
I'll be interested in knowing how it goes for you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I'm going to get it set up tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Excellent. Let us know. Give us a report.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, that's all I got, guys, and I appreciate you. Thanks for all that you do and all that you've done for me over the years.
Oh, no, thank you, William. We appreciate your donation. Thank you so, so much.
One question for you, Will. What year are you at school?
Junior, senior? I'm at Virginia Peninsula Community College, and I'm supposed to transfer next year to Old Dominion.
To where?
So I'm ODU, Old Dominion University, which is in Norfolk. But I'm actually going to ODU Global because I could save thousands of dollars doing that rather than going to the bricks and mortar campus.
Absolutely.
A lot of kids are doing that.
Yep. So that's what the plan is, tentatively.
Well, stick to it. And like they say, education is something no one can ever take away from you.
Amen to that, sir. Amen to that.
Excellent. Good for you.
Yep. Congrats.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you for all you do once again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that reminds me, from one of our faraway viewers, I have to apologize to all of the YouTube viewers for last week. I had set all the stream up and everything ready for Chris to go. I just forgot to make Chris an admin so he couldn't start the stream.
Oops, there it is.
Yep. Uh-huh. So fortunately, the radio still worked.
Yeah. You know what? These laptops look pretty nice, actually.
Uh-oh.
You just got a new computer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is my crack.
And you just got your Pi 5.
I know. This is my crack, and I admit it. Mm-hmm. Laptops are my crack.
And you talk about me and my tabs, you and your laptops.
I only have two right now. I only have two.
And how many tablets?
Working.
Yeah.
Yeah,
working. And I only have one tablet working.
Do I fix it or buy another one?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So, he just hasn't gotten around putting other operating systems on the other ones that no longer support this or that.
Right.
Well, That's where it boils down to.
I was
folks.
Talking about my MacBook Pro, and I can't get it to under Linux. So it has the touch bar, which means I don't have an escape key. Touch bar.
The next model, they added a physical escape key.
Yeah.
Next to the touch bar.
Not mine.
Yeah.
I can get the latest kernel 16.5 or 5.16 or whatever the number is. I don't pay attention to the numbers very much. will do that, but whenever I update to it, I lose the keyboard and mouse for some reason. So I have to figure out what's going on with all of that. And I've been doing other things. I have real work I have to get done. The book and getting ready for this thing in August and all of that stuff. So I've been doing, I just don't have time to play with laptops. So I've been avoiding buying another one.
Mm-hmm. You're never busier than after you retire.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. And then William throws one in my face.
Thank you, William.
I like that one. It looks like a TIE fighter.
Yeah, there's that's a desktop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mini gaming PC.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. We've said this before, but I just want to remind people, if you don't need a laptop, if you're not going to take it somewhere, don't buy a laptop. Buy a desktop. I know that they're out of favor right now. They're out of style. Everybody's buying laptops, but you pay more for a laptop.
Yeah.
For you could buy a desktop and put that $300 extra into more RAM or a faster processor or both.
Well, I got to admit though, I wound up getting this one laptop. I forget the brand that it is. Yeah, it is an HP. It's a small HP, and I got it for like $125. And it's one that I take to the parks to do my POTA. And it's got the touch screen and everything else. And I mean, yeah, I could have got it loaded with all this other memory and the bigger hard, but you know, I'm only using it for this one purpose. And it is blazingly fast. You know, it does everything I want. It's got Linux on it. And you know, I'm happy. That's all it needs to do. I don't worry about it getting viruses or anything else. And it works fast for $125. You know, yeah. Why spend more? And, you know, as we've said for years, and more or less decades, and I'll still stand by it, 80% of the people out there don't use 50% of the power that's sitting in their current computer.
Exactly right. That's why so many people could go with a Chromebook.
Yeah. I mean, I do this and I do that. Yeah, Chromebook will do it.
Yep.
Or, yeah, this lesser one will do it. If you're not into gaming or video editing or graphic design and all this other audio stuff and that, you got to rethink it. You know, or online gaming. Online gaming, yeah, you need something
right
with balls to the walls processing and everything right. else.
I have that's coming back to bite me though.
Uh-oh.
See, I've never wanted to buy a gaming laptop, so I don't have high end graphics or any of that stuff.
Uh-oh.
But now that I'm doing AI,
yeah.
You want a high end GPU on your machine.
And
I don't have one.
And the graphics card.
So yeah, the GPU, and so I don't have that, and so I also don't have a fast local AI. I'm running local AI now. I'm not running AI out on the web. Although obviously I can, but I have half a dozen models locally that I can pick, and I'm having fun with those. But they're a little slow, not terribly slow,
mm-hmm.
not unreasonably slow, just slow. Yeah. And they would be much faster with a GPU. Which I don't have because I never went for a high-end graphics card.
I could see the building of the justification.
I don't need a high-end graphics card for this. It is not
mm-hmm.
a thing yet. It's a toy I'm playing with, and I don't need to spend money on toys.
Mm-hmm.
And not that toy. The problem is that because of AI. Graphics cards have gone up considerably. Good, usable, AI-usable graphics cards
mm-hmm.
have gone through the roof.
Extremely.
And so, you know, if it were still $150, I would absolutely buy one.
Oh, yeah.
But they're, you know, put a comma in that number, and now you're talking about what those are going to cost you, and no thank you. That's simple enough. No thank you.
Yeah.
That I can resist.
That you can't sell to the wife.
Right. Or myself. All right. That music tells us we are done with our first hour, but do not despair. There's an entire another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right, another hour of Dave Enright, another hour of Steve Ray, another hour of me, Nick Francesco, and another hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. But toll free at 800-790-0415. We're gonna take a little break ourselves. You'll be listening to some exciting things coming up on the radio. And we'll see you on the other side with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. And I will read the news. In yet one more sign of the impending apocalypse, Microsoft has apologized for a crappy Windows update. Yes, that's right. And I quote...
Aren't they all?
Well, they're apologizing for this one.
Okay.
And I quote, "We apologize for any inconvenience or confusion," end quote, Microsoft posted after mistakenly claiming an awkward Windows update issue had been fixed. It hadn't been fixed, and now it's gotten worse. A Windows 11 24H2 bug triggered a critical firewall error for some users. This false error confused users and caused alarm. Microsoft then incorrectly claimed the error was patched in Windows 11 KB5062553, but in reality, the update introduced the error for everyone instead of fixing it for the few people who had it. The good news is that you can safely ignore these firewall warnings. They are simply a reporting bug and pose no harm to your PC. The shock to your heart is another matter entirely. Microsoft has suddenly shut its movies and TV store on Xbox consoles and Windows PCs. As of yesterday, you can no longer purchase new movies or TV shows from the Microsoft Store or Xbox on Xbox or Windows, but you will still be able to access previously purchased content on devices unless your purchased movies are part of Movies Anywhere in the U.S. Movies Anywhere is the name of a company, and that company in the United States. Not Movies Anywhere in the United States. Microsoft is not offering a refund for purchases either, so get over yourself. Windows 11 25H2 is right around the corner. Microsoft hasn't given us many details about it, but we do know that they will be upping the static analysis requirements for driver certification, a move meant to improve the security and stability of Windows 11 25H2. Companies that want their hardware designated as reliably compatible with Windows 10 and 11 will need their drivers reviewed and validated by Microsoft. Theoretically, this will increase the stability and reliability of Windows. Theoretically. Microsoft's advertised end of support date for Windows 10 is October 14th, 2025. But in reality, the company will gradually wind down support for the enduring popular operating system over the next 3 years. We now have a good idea when Windows 10 PCs would stop receiving new features for the continuously updated Microsoft 365 apps. Most home users will stop getting new features in August of 2026, while business users running the enterprise versions can expect to stop seeing new features in October 2026 or maybe January 2027, depending on the product they're using. And while the apps will still be getting updates, Microsoft's support document makes it clear that users won't be able to get fixes for bugs that are unique to Windows 10. If an Office issue exists solely on Windows 10, but not on Windows 11, the official guidance for Microsoft support is that users should upgrade to Windows 11. Any support for Windows 10 will be limited to troubleshooting assistance only, and technical workarounds might be limited or unavailable. While Windows 10 is still viable, why don't you give us a call? 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. We see it over and over again. We've been saying it for the longest time, and people are going to be shocked beyond belief when Microsoft stops supporting Windows 10 and you can't get any more information about it or drivers or updates.
It's not like they haven't been telling people.
Well, but it doesn't matter. People are going to be shocked. Shocked, I say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing, you know, we can do about that. We're not hopefully going to laugh at you about it, but, you know, we'll mention that we've been telling you for many, many months.
Add to your list of things to do.
Thank you.
Start a Linux users group to show people how to install Linux on their own PCs.
Oh, you can't think of the number of times I've thought of that. You can't imagine. I've thought of it. The question is where and when.
Do a YouTube video.
I could do YouTube videos, but what people want is hands-on.
Yeah.
People want to bring their laptop and see somebody do an install.
Yeah, but if you do it on a
YouTube... No, I understand what you're saying. What I'm telling you is... There are a whole lot of people who want to see it done in person.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
There is the RIT Linux users group. You might have a way to contact them.
Yeah, maybe I could find a way to contact them. All right, let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Gates, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. I called you a couple months ago about my wife's laptop. The embedded mouse stopped working. And true to form, after about 2 to 3 months, it stopped working. And we're ready to walk away from this company that we've been doing business with for a number of years. Another company that we could do?
Well, okay, so this is a Windows laptop?
Yeah.
And the touchpad, the touchpad has stopped working, or?
Yeah, the touchpad.
Yeah, okay. So, generally speaking, that's one of two things. It's either the hardware has stopped working, and often that's a loose cable, or the driver is bad. And if the company you're currently working with is unable to provide you with the service you need, then maybe you need to look at another company.
Yeah. One of the things that we're currently getting from this company is a virus guarantee. Can we get that from other companies in the Rochester?
Almost any of the companies in Rochester will sell you a virus package. That's not a problem.
Yeah, that company shouldn't. Likely isn't offering virus protection. They're reselling you some other program,
some other product
like Norton or McAfee or WebRoot. So you don't even have to buy it from a local company. You can get it directly online.
We could always do that.
We can't
specify any specific company.
Yeah,
but we can recommend doing the Security Tango. For the most part, if you do due diligence and following the Tango and the programs that we provide you and keeping your virus programs up to date and doing the other two programs, the searches and all that, periodically, you won't have any other problems or be taking it into a shop.
Well, that doesn't fix his touchpad problem.
No.
But for that...
Security.
I would say take a look through the phone book and find... another
phone book. Okay, boomer.
I actually looked at a phone book. We got the last phone book we got was like tiny.
Yeah,
it was like paperback size.
I had a customer the other day. She wanted to raise her monitor up. Says, "Where's your phone books? We don't get any."
Yeah, we don't get them anymore. Look online. Go to Google and say computer dealers near me. And yeah. you'll find a list of them, and you look at their Yelp reviews and their Google reviews and pick a good one.
Yep, that's what I thought you'd say, but it always never hurts to get an opinion from the experts.
Yeah, like Steve said, we try not to. The problem is there are any number of very good ones in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll guarantee you that talking about them off the top of my head, I'm going to leave one out. And that does not do them justice.
Yeah.
And so we don't talk about any of them.
And there have been some that have been sponsors, but I don't think currently there is.
Right.
No, there's not.
Now, yeah, the shop I work for is primarily Mac.
Right, right. Your shop is primarily Mac. And there was a point where we could say, oh, you're looking for a good shop? Listen to the... listen to the underwriters.
Yeah,
but see, you'll hear one, but we don't have.
And that's a problem, though. Once you're talking about a laptop, that's a lot of time and effort.
It is not
getting into that because you know it's not like your old desktop computers where I could just pop off the side and look at stuff. With a laptop, you've got hundreds of screws that you've got to undo. And while you're doing that, you've also got to be very careful when you're pulling these things off because, like, the keyboard is hooked up to it through a little fancy ribbon, what I call a ribbon ribbon attached to the board, as is the mouse pad and everything else.
We were working on PC the other day. And I'm trying to figure out how to get the bottom case off. I finally find the service manual. You got to take off the rubber feet.
Yes.
There's screws hiding under the rubber feet. Well, then you can't get the rubber feet back on.
Exactly. Exactly. At any rate, Mike, the basic idea is Google computer vendors near me or PC vendors near me. That, you know, narrows it down a little bit. But I'll guarantee you.
PC repair.
PC repair.
Not all the vendors actually repair.
Right. So go look for PC repair and check their Yelp reviews and their Google reviews and see what you get.
Yeah. One thing that I didn't like about Lenovo is the word that Lenovo said is we repair it three times and then we replace it.
That's pretty common for most manufacturers.
Yeah, most of them do that these days.
Yep. So, okay. Thanks for your input, guys.
All right. Good luck.
You too. Bye-bye.
So, yeah, it's hard working on laptops, and that's another reason to look at a desktop if you don't move around.
Which is interesting because a lot of the new desktops are just a laptop motherboard in a big case.
Right, but you can get at them easier.
Yeah. And that makes it a lot easier to get to. It makes sense for the companies to make one motherboard. Although, you look at these PC companies, and they have 1,000 different configurations. That's got to be terrible on their production line.
Right, right. Because that's economy of scale says the fewer things you do, the cheaper you can make those things to do. So,
and so much is soldered anymore. It's not like you have a base motherboard, and then they put any one of these six chips in it, CPUs in it, and any one of these six memory cards in it.
But the problem with that nowadays is you look at some other companies, and they offer like three things. But you can say, I want this much RAM. I want this size hard drive. So you can essentially get that. But it looks like they're a crappier company.
Yeah. That's one advantage the PC world has over the Apple world is that Apple makes, a dozen different models of computer. But in the PC world, you're going to find something weird that you want from some manufacturer somewhere. Like I want a PC that looks like a TIE fighter.
Exactly. Yeah. I get that. All right.
Remember the water-cooled ones?
Yep.
That
was big for a long time.
Back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerry from Jacksonville, Florida. How are things in Jacksonville, Jerry?
It's probably toastier here than it is up in you guys. Although... you were giving us a run for the money recently.
That's recently, but today it's like 77 here.
Yeah, but it feels like it says it's 78, but it feels like 91.
Sure.
Which leads to my question. So here I am down here in the place where it's warm a lot of the time, and it's tough to mow the lawn when it's really hot.
Sure.
So I invested in a robo mower.
Oh, I want one of those.
Oh. Those are cool.
Uh-huh.
It lasted about 2 weeks, and then it died. The Wi-Fi module won't communicate with the Wi-Fi anymore. So I'm stuck with the carcass of a perfectly happy robo-mower that won't talk to anything. Can you guys discuss a robo-mower hacking community that will allow me to go in there and find the replacement components, or maybe make one that I can just run from Bluetooth?
Wait a minute. If you just got that unit, isn't it under warranty?
Well,
what?
The company that manufactured it is very, very far out of town, and they have not responded to emails or anything like that, so I'm assuming that it's an abandoned product.
Okay, so one of the things that you might be able to do is go on to YouTube and search for people who have that mower. Search for that mower.
Specific model number, even.
Right, even the specific, yeah, and specific model number.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've always said about YouTube is that many people put repair stuff on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You may find that there's a video up there that addresses your problem.
iFixit has a section on robot mowers.
Yeah.
They're big on computer stuff, too.
Right.
Well, so it's a computer with a giant cutting death blade.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Yeah.
So, iFixit would be another place to look. And the other thing is, it can't hurt to go to Google and say, you know, robot mower repair places near me. Can't hurt to look. It sounds to me like you're working with a company that's very, very, very far out of town, and that is always a problem when you have an issue.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about that half of it when they buy something is it's going to need repaired. So how easy is their repair service?
Or I got one better than that for you. At our store, a guy ordered one, brought it back in, said, anything wrong with it? My wife doesn't like it, won't even let me take it out of the box. I got to send it back.
Yep.
He never even got to even put it out of the box.
And wow. She goes,
it's either that thing or me.
Wow.
More went back.
I'm trying to remember the company I used to get my lawnmower fixed, because they sent a truck over and a van.
Yeah, but do you have a robo-mower?
No. So I'm trying to remember the name of the company so I can look them up to see if they handle robo-mowers, too.
Oh, sure. I know. I get that. Well, but he's in Jacksonville, Florida, so that would be a long trip.
Yeah.
Our suggestion is YouTube videos, if you want to do it yourself, or Google around for companies to fix robo-mowers in your area.
Yeah, because there's a number of companies out there. Matter of fact, I saw one. It's a huge mower. It looks like a bush hog that is remote controlled, and it's going back and forth, and they can sit there and do it. So that's all Wi-Fi.
I just want to put a self-propelled mower on a stick, and as the rope.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As it runs its circle, the rope winds up, and it mows
stick
it along.
Mows yeah. along. But anyway, Jerry, that's pretty much what you're going to have to do. Sorry.
Okay, well, a little bit of history. I've already followed the YouTube and the Google path, and the company that originally manufactured this, being very, very far out of town, has also vanished. So the device itself is about the size of a carry-on lawnmower.
Yeah.
And I just was wondering if there was any robo-mower hacking community on the Internet might be able to, you know, either I donate the body to it or have advice on how I can get it fixed.
There's also,
I figure I'm on my own for this.
There's a lot of subreddits on robot mowers and, look for robot mower, robotic mower, auto mower. So I searched for robot lawnmower and it's finding a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, okay. So one of the things I didn't think about was Reddit.
You got to be careful looking at subreddits because there's some crazy ones there.
Oh, yeah. But in the right subreddits, you can find a lot of good help. So I would look there, too. It's at reddit.com, R-E-D-D-I-T.com.
Even a Maker Faire might, maybe. So you probably have a makerspace. That's a trademark. But there are places where people go to make stuff. And you have to search for makerspace in Jacksonville. So somewhere where you could go there and just meet people, and somebody will know somebody who knows somebody.
Yep. I've got an invite to tour the makerspace here in Rochester. I just have to get my knee working well enough to
Yeah, there's
walk around for a while.
There's one called Jax Makes, JAXMAKES, and it's in the Riverside area of Jacksonville, wherever that is. I've driven through Jacksonville a few times on the expressway.
So, yeah, you can check with them. I'm sure that if there's a makerspace, there's somebody who knows somebody. So you need to do a little networking yourself, Jerry. Your network still works.
Yep,
so use
it. Does.
Yep.
I will need to do that. Two other quick little points. The previous caller with the non-working trackpad, have they plugged a mouse into a USB port and see if they can get pointing functionality that way back?
Oh, yeah, definitely
good question. I did not ask that, but Mike, I'm sure you've tried that. If you haven't, you should plug a mouse in. If you don't own a mouse, you can get one for like $5 on
Amazon. Yeah, use a wireless one.
I have a friend. Midnight Wines.
Yeah, at least to give him functionality with that one back. Third question is a little bit longer, may drag into the next half hour. But what's the experience putting Linux onto old iPads?
Virtually zero. iPad Linux. I think there was somebody working on it. iPadLinux.org isn't readily available yet, so they are working on it. One of the problems is the way the iPad is locked down. You can't get to the root very well in order to change the OS. So there are people working on it, but nothing yet. Especially for older iPads that Apple doesn't support anymore, programs don't support anymore. Same thing with the computers. You know, Windows doesn't support 286, 386.
Right.
You can be able to revitalize an old iPad if you can get a different OS on it.
Right. The problem is it's, without jailbreaking it, you can't. And jailbreaking it is iffy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the ish shell. So you can jailbreak ish with ISH.
I think that's above my pay grade. All right, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and keep poking at what we can do to keep old hardware living.
Yep.
All right,
thanks guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, you think you would be able to, because isn't iOS essentially BSD?
At the core, it's the same mock kernel BSD that Apple is, yeah.
I'm just wondering, though, if, you know, it's the logic board that, you know, it's probably gone on that mower. I mean, the mower is just a mower. And it's just the...
He said it was the Wi-Fi that didn't work, so he can't control
it. Yeah, there's maybe other companies that sell... You know, boards that you could put onto a mower to control it.
Maybe. It would be, it depends on the brand of mower.
Yeah, the logic,
A whole hundred other things. But it sounds like he's working with a Chinese company that's no longer in business. And that's
fly by night place that bought a few hundred and sold them and then disappeared.
That seems to be the new business model. We'll make a product, sell as many as we can, then disappear so we never have to support it.
Well, they do Chinese. I've heard of these companies that will do Chinese knockoffs, buy, you know, say 1,000 of them because they get them so dirt cheap. They open up a company here, ship them out with the guarantees, and like we were saying before, the AI that you can develop a website, it makes it look so authentic and everything else and real, and, you know, you'd swear up and down on a stack of Bibles that they were a viable company. And then once they sell them all, they're gone.
They're gone.
And disappear into the night like fog.
Yep. And then they open up another company
elsewhere,
selling a different product.
Yeah. Yep.
It's too bad. It's too bad. But it is. We see it more often than not. You got to be careful what you buy. I know people who swear by Temu. And I've had spotty luck buying stuff from Temu. So some things I get right away. Some things are on the proverbial slow boat. Some things I never see.
So PC Magazine and Popular Mechanics both have best robot lawnmower roundups. So does Bob Vila and Good Housekeeping.
Nice.
So it crashes a lot of genres.
No, I get it. Robomore, good idea, particularly when you're in Florida.
There's a bunch of YouTube videos on, and they try a bunch of different mowers.
Yeah, but that's not repairing one.
Yeah. But maybe if they try them and test them, maybe they have a repair video, too.
Right. I would certainly look. Now, Jerry said he looked. So it may not be that he's found one for this particular company. Yep. And the other thing is, of course, they have, if it's a fly-by-night company, that mower is probably sold under four different names.
Yeah, take the cover off and see if there's a different company name underneath.
Exactly. Or look at the name of the Wi-Fi, if there's a label on the Wi-Fi itself etched on the motherboard. Mm-hmm. So you can say, how do I repair or replace the XYZ Wi-Fi module? It doesn't matter what it's on. It could be on anything. So how do I, narrow it down to that Wi-Fi module as opposed to the RoboMower itself. But that's going to require taking the thing apart enough to check the motherboard and see if there is indeed a manufacturer's name on it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. But only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 800-790-0415. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are soundbites. Which one? I want to read this one. Miscellaneous news now.
That was a good one.
There's some cool stuff in this one.
Yeah.
Researchers in Japan say they've set a new world record for the fastest internet speed, transmitting over 125,000 gigabytes per second over 1,120 miles. That's about 4 million times the average internet speed in the U.S. and would allow you to download the entire internet archive in less than 4 minutes. I don't know where you'd put it, but you could download it. To achieve this speed, which has not been independently verified, the team developed a new form of optic fiber to send information at groundbreaking speeds over roughly the distance between New York and Florida. Privacy-focused browser DuckDuckGo is rolling out a new setting that lets users filter out AI images in search results. The company says it's launching the feature in response to feedback from users who said AI images can get in the way of finding what they're looking for. Users can either hide the AI images when they see the result of a search, or they can turn them off entirely in the settings. Apple has filed a lawsuit in the Northern District of California accusing John Prosser of misappropriating trade secrets in violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for leaking iOS 26, which was known as iOS 19 at the time. First, he leaked a reconstruction of the camera app. Then he published a couple of videos that showed reconstructed glimpses of what actually became the liquid glass overhaul. While some details differed a bit from what Apple ultimately announced, the leaks were essentially accurate. Apple is asking for a jury trial, which would allow a jury to decide on injunction and punitive damages if the company wins the case.
Now, this guy's a YouTuber, so he got his information from someone inside Apple, and that's what Apple really wants.
And that's why they're suing. They want that name. As Windows 10's death, or rather execution, by Microsoft fast approaches, people using Windows 10 have recently been checking out Linux as an alternative. and the open source community has been welcoming them with open arms. Get it? Open?
Okay.
And likely because of that, Linux has for the first time reached 5% market share of desktop operating systems in the U.S.
It's the year of Linux.
And while people have been touting the year of the Linux desktop since 1998, we're finally beginning to see its growth in the home market. Now, this doesn't mean that all of those Linux users have abandoned Windows totally just yet, and it doesn't include Chromebooks, and doesn't seem to include Raspberry Pis, which also run Linux under the hood. But 5% is a good start, and it's likely to grow as we get closer to the date Microsoft cruelly murders Windows 10. We speak Linux, too, so give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415.
This might be the operating system that does it for Microsoft and, forcing folks to go to or at least try Linux on an old machine.
Well, we said that with Windows 8 and Windows 10 and Windows every time there's some big change, but no one does. They're too scared to
change.
But
the thing that is,
but
here's the bottom line. All they did with Windows 10 to 11 was, move things around. The processor speed isn't much better than on what I can get to run on Windows 10. I mean, if apples to apples, it's still the same. They're only changing the operating system because, like you said before, that's how they make money, putting out a new system. So now these folks that have Windows 10 machines that they just bought last year, all of a sudden now they're told they got to scrap it because it won't run Windows 11.
People are tired of having to pay and pay and pay.
Yeah.
And now that Microsoft is putting ads into their operating system, people are angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we've been seeing with our customers is most people won't bother upgrading. They won't bother getting a new computer. So they're going to be more vulnerable and end up paying more in repairs as their computers get more infected.
Well, and there will be coming a point where we have to say, we can't help you.
Yeah.
We simply cannot help you. And Linux is scary because it's not the same. That's why you can get Linux Mint, and there's a couple of others that purport to look very much like Windows.
Cinnamon.
And run Linux Mint Cinnamon, and a couple of others that look very much like Windows. And they are recommended for beginners. And, we've been talking about the year of Linux desktop since 1998. But Linux has become much easier to install.
Mm.
It's got a much fuller set of programs that are available for it. It now does everything that a Windows computer will do. And I know somebody's going to call up and say, I can't run it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can run an equivalent program that is free.
And with Wine, you can run almost any Windows program. It may not run well, but you can run.
And so they're all available. It's all right there. It's just very hard to change. And I get it. Change is frightening. Change is scary. And we are all cowards for change. And I get that. Absolutely. But there comes a point where. There are people who are just, they're broken. They've decided they can't take the Microsoft tax anymore, and they don't want to pay for the ads.
I just want to get my email, Chromebook.
Get a Chromebook. But if you need, if you absolutely think you can't live without a full operating system, you can run Linux.
We had a customer a couple weeks ago that was incensed that his 10-year-old Mac died.
Yep.
Spinning hard drive malfunctioned. Well, should last longer than that. No, not necessarily.
No.
Well, I'm never going to buy an Apple. Well, PCs die even faster.
It's
a spinning, the same, Western Digital spinning hard drive that's in the Mac is in the PC.
Yeah, yep. No different. But my biggest thing is tell me some of the bigger features that are different from Windows 11 to 10.
Right, you won't find them.
There is nothing other than them. Moving the menu bar into the center, and, you know, rearranging stuff. That's all Windows.
And more ads in the pop-up.
Yeah.
In the
harder
menu.
To find things and do things.
Yep. Yeah, look, and that's what's leading some people to jump ship.
Yep.
You know, they've just
had
it.
Yeah.
And I get that. Listen, I've been on Linux since 25, 30 years now. Since the year of the Linux desktop.
Yeah.
So you
went to it a lot sooner than I did, that's for sure.
And what's ironic is that Apple ran commercials back in the Vista days about you got to change to Vista, which is so different than your Windows XP. You might as well get a Mac because it's different anyway. Now, the Liquid Glass they've announced in the next OS, a lot of people are likening to Windows Aero from Vista. So 20 years later, the Mac looks like Vista.
Yep, it does. And that, you know, again, and this is, we've been saying this for a while too, there's no more excitement in these upgrades. You know, that it's incremental things.
Yep.
What can we do to justify a new version number? And I get it. Under the hood, there are a lot of fixes and improvements and et cetera. And that's what they're really giving you. But the general public isn't interested in under the hood. They don't want to know that the motor is slightly more efficient. They want to see fins.
Yep.
We're in the fins era of computers. You know, it's the chrome and the fins that we're seeing.
The shiny. Ooh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There was an unfortunate placement on Apple's YouTube video on Liquid Glass. The thumbnail has the YouTube logo on it. And it blocked the G and the L in glass.
Oh, excellent.
So they fixed that real quick to put glass on a second line. So
The
icon didn't mess it up.
For me, it's, of course, I'm an old programmer, you know, and I'm so used to the command line there. But Linux brings that back to you, being able to go into the terminal mode and setting stuff up and having full control.
Yep. But you don't have to.
You don't have to. I know people who have never gone to the command line in Windows, in Linux, I mean, and they are perfectly content.
I'd go to command line on the Mac.
I'm so used to it. Right. For me, that's home.
I remember when you first brought in a Mac, and Tony Pasilla and I pushed you aside, literally, physically pushed you out of the way.
Terminal.
How do you get to the command line?
We
played around on that for a while. Oh, it's Linux, BSD. Holy cow, I can do this. Yeah. This is one of the beauties of Linux. You can, if you want to, go play around in the command line to your heart's content. I do every single day.
Both worlds.
But I also know people who have never touched the command line and are perfectly content with running Linux.
Well, that's where, again, probably from when you started, and I know for now, that you can go into that library and just select a thing and say, install it. It will install it. It will update it. And then down the road, any future updates, it keeps it in its library that it'll update that too.
And it's all free.
Yes.
Free.
They've made it so easy. You don't have to do the old tar and unpacking it and putting it in a directory and doing that type of stuff. It's just click on that. Boom. It's installed, ready to run. You can have it on your desktop or over on your, you know, depending on your menu system. Right there in the menu system to select that program and use it.
And it's conceptually the same as Mac and Windows, where you download something and then open the download and it installs it.
Yeah.
Yep. It is exactly the same. And it in this case, it actually does the download and installing without a second click. So it's actually easier.
Well, yeah, Apple took that away because bad guys.
Right. No, I get that.
And drive-by downloads.
But it's... It's not
as intimidating.
As intimidating as it used to be, and it's not as difficult as it used to be. And we're finding that a lot of people are getting that second computer or that Raspberry Pi or whatever. And I will say this, Fred was talking about a Raspberry Pi 5. Raspberry Pi 5 is a decent desktop replacement.
Yeah.
So, you know, using it to run Pandora is overkill. It is a decent desktop replacement. It will run your entire LibreOffice suite fast.
They could save some money by going to a 4 or a 3, but They're only $100.
They're only $100. Well, and you can get that Pi 5. And if you've already got a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor, you don't even need to buy those. You hook it up. And there's a single program you can download for Windows or Mac or Linux that will burn a flash drive so you can boot it.
Raspberry Pi Imager.
And you can get Imager, and you can get the flash drives, the little tiny SD cards, micro SD cards, in huge sizes. And that's more than enough to play with, to learn on. And then if you want to, I've got a terabyte hard drive hooked up to my Raspberry Pi. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And to my Pi 4. And I've got a 500 gig on my Pi 3. And they just work. It goes through the USB port, and it's USB 3, and it's very fast. And you can run it as a standard desktop running Linux, and you can run the Raspberry Pi version of Linux, or you can run Ubuntu, all kinds of different things you can run. If you're a retro gamer, there's a whole operating system for retro games.
And Steam has the Steam Deck is Linux, and so a lot of their games are now working under Linux.
Yep. So, you know, it isn't any longer necessary to say, I'm a gamer, I must have Windows.
Yep. There was a meme going around with a panicked-looking face saying, Windows, seeing me download a Linux ISO and Rufus.
Yeah. Yep. One of the, what did they used to say? The number one use of Edge? Well, Microsoft
Internet Explorer day, yep.
Was to download Chrome.
Yep.
And now a lot of people are seeing that the number one reason to use Windows is to download Linux.
And it tries to stop you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? You don't need that. We're based on Chromium too.
Yep. No, there's we don't see a lot of people talking about Linux. Just like you don't see a lot of people talking about Macs because they just work every day.
Yeah.
They just work. You know, you may find people saying, how do I? Or, you know, where do I find? But not, oh my God, it's broken. What do I do?
And the updates happen automatically.
This morning I had an update. It was just, you need to update. Click, thank you.
Yep. And since one company controls the hardware and the software in the Mac world, drivers pretty much always work, and that's why it makes sense to let Microsoft handle third-party drivers on Windows, because Microsoft makes sure they work with Microsoft. So a lot of times you don't need to download drivers from manufacturers anymore because Microsoft has them all.
Right, and they're going to do more of that.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense. And it's not, you know, we're not saying abandon Windows just because. But if you're tired of paying for updates, if you're tired of paying to watch ads, if you're tired of updates that don't work or that cause more problems than they fix, if you're tired of patches on patches on patches on patches on patches, if you've got a machine that you're not using or not using to its fullest capacity, put Linux on it.
Yeah,
you can go and buy a Mac. Or you can take your old machine and put Linux on it.
Yeah, like you reported last week, you're not going to have to see the blue screen of death anymore.
Right.
They turned it black.
Right. Now the blank screen of death.
Especially on these, like I say, I was talking to one person that says, well, this, you know, because he just bought this computer last year.
Yep.
But he checked and it says it won't run Windows 11. He goes, the thing's just a year old. As a matter of fact, he goes, I think it's like 13 months old, and they want me to go buy another box? I don't have that kind of money, right. And there's nothing wrong with this. I said, told him, check out Linux.
I still am surprised when somebody says to me something like, I'm saving up to buy X piece of software. Wait, you pay for your software? Mine's all free and legally free.
Yeah.
That's... Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Mac comes with almost all the software most people ever need.
Right.
Web browser.
So does Linux.
Yeah. word processing spreadsheet,
right?
Image editor.
Yeah. You get LibreOffice. You get any browser you want.
And there's so tens of thousands of free programs that are out there. All you have to do is go into the search there and put in photo editing,
the software store.
Store, and say what you're looking for. And it'll come up with different suggestions, and they're all free.
Yeah, and this Linux, I think they call it the Software Center. But yeah, that's the basic idea.
Yeah.
And they just call it software. Okay, yeah. that solves that problem.
Even easier.
But yes, and you come up to a standard graphical user interface with windows and folders and files and a menu bar and a mouse and all the things you're used to.
And you can move things around. You can move that that menu bar up, down to the side. You can have it disappear. It's endless.
Fade away and pop up again. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. One thing I discovered that I really love is that you can set a key, and I use Alt-W for where, and it's a mouse pinger. So when you do it, you see the mouse.
Yep.
Oh.
You see an expanding circle around the mouse, so you can see where the mouse is.
On the Mac, if you wiggle the mouse back and forth, the cursor jumps up in size, because that's what everyone does to find it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Careful, it's vision is based on motion.
Right, right. In my case, I'll W and I get an expanding series of circles that show me where the mouse is. I was looking for that because I was on a machine that just had. I'm old. My eyes are old, and when you get a 2800 by 1500 thing on a screen that's 11 inches in size, I need to make that bigger. But I couldn't find the mouse to go find things.
You sit down at someone else's computer and everything is at the defaults, and all of your tools aren't there.
Right. So installing Linux is easy. Once you've created the Linux using Rufus or something else, once you've created the Linux thumb drive, you just boot the machine using whatever key brings up the boot menu. On many machines these days, it's F12 or F11 or F2. So, you have to know that. Or you just reboot it three or four times to the right key. And then, you've got that in there, and you can say, okay, I want to boot from the thumb drive, and suddenly you're in Linux. And you can play with it, and you can test it, and you run it. It's a live CD, a live thumb drive. And then when, it's going to be slow, I've said this before, because it's all compressed on the thumb drive, and the transfer from the thumb drive is slow. But once it's running fast. And once you install it, it runs at the normal speed. And when you decide to install it, there's a button you push. Boom, you push it, and it asks you a couple of questions. What do you want to name this computer? What's your name? What's your password? Do you want the whole disk? Yes, you do. That's spoiler alert. Do you want to install a complete desktop? Yes, you do. And maybe it asks you what time zone you're in. Because if it can't figure it out from Wi-Fi, it asks you. And then it installs. And these are all the same questions you get on Windows anyway.
Yep.
It's not like you're getting anything different.
And it doesn't force you to log into a Microsoft account.
And you don't have to have a Microsoft account. You don't have to have, I recommend that if you're using a laptop that you're going to carry around places, you have to log in every time. But at your home desktop, mine is set up that I don't have to log in.
Yep. One other thing, though, I have discovered in playing around is instead of using a flash drive, I've used it's a USB drive, but it holds in micro SD cards.
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I use micro SD cards that are very fast. They're actually faster than using the actual flash drives. So if you want a little more speed, You know, that's what you want to check.
USB flash drives are annoyingly slow.
Yeah, they really are. Even the 3.0 ones.
Yeah. But it's the same NAND flash memory that's in the computer as the SSD.
Yes. Yeah. Just the connector, the underlying circuitry is cheaper. But yeah, it doesn't take much to run Linux, and it doesn't take much to make sure that you're running what you want. You know, what you want. I don't understand people who spend their day complaining about Microsoft. Stop using it. It's really that simple. All right. Listen, that music tells us we're done for another week. And I hear thank heaven from so many of you out there. Shut up. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who called in. Really, we ran the gamut today. This is pretty cool. We want to thank everybody who called in and those of you who are listening all over the world. We download. We know who downloads, where the downloads are from, what country they're from. So we want to thank you. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another. Would you, for heaven's sake?